The allocation scandal. The National Institutes of Health has an annual budget of approximately $47 billion. 55 million people die annually. You would think those two facts would be related. They are not. A 2023 JAMA study analyzed $247 billion in NIH spending, 2010 to 2019, and found 84.9% went to basic research, totaling $209.9 billion. Mice, molecules, mechanisms. Experimental work without any particular application in view. They put the quiet part in the job description. 11.8% went to applied research, non-trial, totaling $29.3 billion. Research with practical aims that does not practically aim at testing treatments in humans. The Clinical and Translational Science Awards, or CTSA, infrastructure program cost approximately $1 billion per year in buildings, overhead, and salaries. Observational studies watch patients get sicker without testing treatments. The All of Us program spent $2.16 billion to observe disease happening. Heroic. Other applied research includes drug characterization, health services research, and epidemiology. 3.3% went to phased clinical trials, totaling $8.1 billion. Actually testing of drugs work in humans, phases 1 through 3. Phase 1 cost $1.5 billion, or 18.5% of the clinical trial budget. Phase 2 cost $3.5 billion, or 43.2%. Phase 3 cost $2.6 billion, or 32.1%. The NIH covers only 3.7 to 4.3% of Phase 3 costs, then wanders off like a cat that lost interest. Pragmatic trials, 30 times cheaper, are severely underfunded despite proven efficiency. The NIH spends 96.7% of its budget on everything except the one thing that saves lives, testing treatments in humans. It's like spending 97% of your grocery budget on cookbooks and 3% on food, then wondering why you're starving. This isn't just inefficiency, it's a body count. Why this allocation exists. This isn't bureaucratic accident, it's lobbied outcome. Drug companies love the NIH. Taxpayers absorb the risk of basic research. Industry patents whatever works. It's like if your neighbor paid for your kitchen renovation and then you charged them rent to eat there. But independent trials comparing drugs head-to-head, those are terrifying. They might reveal that the $80,000 drug works about as well as the $4 generic. Pharma, the drug lobby, has consistently opposed comparative effectiveness research. When Congress created the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, or PCORI, in 2010, industry successfully lobbied to prohibit it from making coverage recommendations based on cost-effectiveness. Congress literally passed a law saying don't fund research that might lower drug prices. They wrote it down in legislation on purpose. The revolving door helps. NIH advisory committees include industry representatives, former NIH officials join pharmaceutical boards, academic researchers depend on industry grants. Everyone's incentives align against cheap, fast trials testing whether expensive drugs outperform generics. It's not a conspiracy, it's just that everyone involved happens to benefit from the same terrible outcome, purely by coincidence, repeatedly, for decades. Basic research produces publications. Publications produce tenure. Tenure produces more grants. Nobody in this cycle needs anyone to get better. They need papers. The 3.3% allocation isn't a mystery. It's a business model. The efficiency gap, a tale of two trials. The difference between efficient and inefficient trial design isn't theoretical. Humanity accidentally ran a controlled experiment on itself during COVID. Two countries, same disease, one spent like it was trying to cure death. The other actually did. Recovery Initiative, NIH approach. The budget is $1.665 billion, or $1.15 billion plus $515 million in 2024. The timeline is 4 years and counting. Approximately 30,000 patients are enrolled. Zero trials have been completed. The cost per patient is $55,500. Recovery trial, UK approach, the budget was $20 million. The timeline was 6 months. 48,000 patients were enrolled. Multiple treatments were found, including dexamethasone, saved over 1 million lives. The cost per patient was $500. The NIH spent 133 times more per patient and achieved infinitely less. Dividing by zero trials completed produces infinity, which is fitting because that's how long patients waited. This efficiency gap is not unique to recovery. A systematic review of 64 pragmatic trials found a median cost of $97 per patient. The British cured disease for the price of a nice dinner per patient. America spent the price of a luxury SUV per patient and cured nothing. The problem isn't that curing disease is hard. The NIH doesn't have a capability problem. It has a shopping addiction. The death toll, opportunity cost of misallocation. When you misallocate $40 billion a year into low-efficiency research instead of high-efficiency clinical trials, you aren't just wasting money, you are composting people. Cost per quality-adjusted life year, or QALY. The standard NIH portfolio costs $50,000 per QALY, and that's being generous. Pragmatic platform trials cost $4 per QALY. Every $1 spent on efficient pragmatic trials buys 12,500 times more health than a dollar spent on the current NIH portfolio. The adaptable trial proved pragmatic trials cost 30 times less than traditional randomized control trials, or RCTs. $14 million versus $420 million. Same science, fewer catered meetings. The death equivalent of budget misallocation. The annual opportunity cost is approximately 100 million QALYs and approximately 700,000 death equivalents per year. Even the most conservative estimate is approximately 10 million QALYs and approximately 700,000 preventable deaths annually. You are operating at approximately 2% of your potential capacity to save lives. If your PAR ran at 2% efficiency, you'd walk. If your heart ran at 2% efficiency, you'd die. Your medical research system runs at 2% efficiency, and you gave it a raise. The translation crisis. All theory, no medicine. The problem is not a shortage of ideas, it is a shortage of anyone bothering to test them. There are more than 20,000 FDA-approved drugs known to be safe in humans. There are approximately 4,700 to 6,800 clinically tested candidates for repurposable compounds, including 3,422 marketed drugs gathering dust. There are hundreds of plausible dementia interventions. There are zero clinical trials available for your grandma in St. Louis. You have a warehouse of safe molecules that have never been systematically tested for new uses. The warehouse is full. The testing facility is closed for a team-building retreat. The NIH is, by its own metrics, a publishing house that occasionally dabbles in medicine. 2.5 million papers are published annually. Approximately 50 new treatments are approved annually. The conversion rate from paper to patient is 0.002%. For every 50,000 papers, one drug reaches a human. The rest become citations in other papers, which become citations in other papers, in an infinite loop of academics reading each other's homework. Plenty of knowledge, no translation. Approximately 5% of patients have participated in trials. Approximately 50% of patients are willing to participate if invited. Only 9 to 11% of patients are actually invited. Half of all patients would join a clinical trial if asked. almost nobody asks. It's like having a room full of volunteers and a clipboard and choosing to study the clipboard. Understanding disease and curing disease are completely different activities. One requires microscopes, the other requires giving people medicine and seeing if they stop dying. The NIH chose microscopes. The public goods versus club goods scam. The NIH claims to produce public goods like open science and training. What it actually produces is a free R&D department for pharmaceutical companies funded by the same people who then pay full price for the drugs. Taxpayers funded research behind 99% of new drugs, 356 drugs from 2010 to 2019. Industry patents the winners, the public pays again through high drug prices. When research leads to a dead end, the public eats the loss. You pay for the lottery ticket, they cash the winnings. The only things the NIH should fund are things private companies cannot profitably fund. Open pragmatic trial platforms are 30 times cheaper than traditional trials, yet receive minimal NIH funding. There are over 4,700 clinically tested compounds for repurposing generic drugs, where no patent equals no profit equals no interest. Comparative effectiveness data from head-to-head trials reveal which drugs actually work best. Pharma's nightmare. These are the only things the NIH should be funding. Instead, the NIH explicitly avoids them to not crowd out industry. Translation, we won't run the trials that would lower drug prices because the people who set drug prices asked us nicely. The patient disconnect, zero correlation with health outcomes. The correlation between NIH funding priorities and actual disease burden is 0.07. That is not a typo. On a scale of 0, random, to 1, perfect, the NIH scores basically a coin flip. A dartboard would allocate research funding more rationally. What patients want: medicine that works, access to experimental therapies, trials they can join, a cure before they die. What NIH funds: molecular mechanisms, papers in prestigious journals, research empires, institutional overhead. Patients don't control the money. Committees do. And committees optimize for the continued existence of committees. This is true of all committees, everywhere, since the invention of committees. Nobody has ever convened a committee that recommended fewer committees. The track record. Since 1970, the NIH has spent over $1.1 trillion, inflation adjusted. Diseases eradicated? Zero. This isn't because eradicating disease is impossible. The WHO eradicated smallpox for $300 million. Jonas Salk developed the polio vaccine in a university lab and gave it away for free, which is why nobody at the NIH talks to him at parties. Veterinarians have eradicated multiple animal diseases while the NIH was forming subcommittees about forming subcommittees. Cows have better healthcare outcomes than you do. What would actually work? The UK recovery trial already proved it. $500 per patient instead of $41,000, 100 days instead of years, over 1 million lives saved. The blueprint exists. It is not theoretical. It happened in England during a pandemic while Americans were arguing about horse dewormer. The recipe: pay for results. Treatment equals payment. No treatment equals no payment. Radical, I know. Publish everything, including failures, especially failures. Eliminate gatekeepers. Let patients vote with participation. Automate administration, smart contracts instead of committees. Committees cannot be trusted. See above.